No, it's true.
That's a modern example.
Yes. Do you see how it brings sanity? Seeing things real clear helps us to really have a grasp. Here we go, back to Frank Sheed. Oh. On the way things really are.
Yeah.
As opposed to the way, I don't know, what we hope they are, think they are. And it gives us a better grasp. So the opposite of pride. So we're going to use our the opposite approach to this is humility. Aquinas Summus sees humility as spiritual temperance. Among the various, and I have it listed there where you can find it in the Summa and this, but humility, and so boiled it down, is nothing else than a moderation of spirit. That will be, in a nutshell, Aquinas' definition. It's living peacefully, it's avoiding criticism, it's trying to see the good in everybody. And my friends, that too needs some prudence there, because the virtuous man, please God, you and I here, I often think we really can underestimate the viciousness of those who don't live this way. And always, always, always pray for the grace to be humble. Of course, Our Lady. Okay. The third method. There is now a third method. Taken from Father Emil Noubert. He's a Marianist. My Ideal, Jesus Son of Mary. It's a nice little booklet. Ted's reading it at the table. And his method is to look to Jesus. So you're in a situation. So again, you have to have self-awareness. Again, you've had to sit with yourself and have enough wherewithal to realize where you have sinned and where you tend to sin. And so for Father Al. So this is it's a thin little book. It's an easy read, all of that. So there's some presuppositions baked into that. One is that you have to know your tendency for sin, the multiple forms, that you will need a plan, a courageous persistence. And then he says to look to Jesus. Well, a lot of us can have all kinds of images of Jesus if they're not rooted in proper and attentive study. So whenever someone says, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? There's that presupposition in the background is that, oh, I really do read the gospel faithfully and carefully, set in a background of a broad vision of 2,000 years. Okay. And that's not a small thing. Okay, that's not a small thing. So here we have pride. So we want to consider his humility. So then in our prayer, we presupposes we're having prayer time now, right? And another presupposition that you talk to him and you consider him in that particular situation of how he would handle something. So for a full picture of Jesus, he certainly was kind and loving to this Samaritan woman, but he is also clear to her not to sin anymore. He also has these moments of saying some really harsh things to lots of people.
Yeah.
And then there's these other times, you know, the prodigal son. So that's where your prudence and this prayer life and looking to Jesus, and of course, Our Lady comes into play. So, Father Emil, that is a very valuable approach. Just consider our Lord and how we imagine our Lord would feel. I mean, I heard a priest just today saying that same thing, you know, when we're having, when the tendency to be short-tempered or curt, or, and to ask ourselves, is that what Jesus really would have done in this situation?
Well, he might have.
He might have. Right? He might have. He might have not.
I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek there, but I your point is well taken, that one cannot, you know, the pithy little slogan of what would Jesus do is very easily twisted into Jesus would do whatever I want him to do. If you do not have a very, very intense an intentionality towards your spiritual life. I'm not saying you have to have an intense spiritual life, but you must have a decided intentionality toward your spiritual life. And that, you know, that means that you do have to at least make an engagement with scriptures. You do have to be setting a time. How could one ever know what anybody would do if one never spent time with someone? Right. I mean, you know, because you and I have had a relationship of long duration in certain given circumstances, just because we know each other fairly well, we could probably make a pretty good supposition as to what one of us would do given any particular situation. And because of that, you know, we have an ability to rely on one another and to trust one another and to really that allows us to advance ourselves in the spiritual life. But the same thing is true with Christ. He's not a myth. You know, it's not like you're engaging with somebody who died and now is dead. No, you're engaging with a living human being who and he's obviously the God-man. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to be propounding any heresies here. But one may enter into an authentic, maybe the only authentic relationship with him. And if you're going to take this method, which I think is probably both the most beautiful, but also the most demanding of the person who's going to walk this road, in terms of, because it's certainly much easier to sit down with a book and read about different faults and implement a plan of action. Right? I mean, you know, that is something that is tangible, doable. You know, you can really do that. But to enter into a relationship with someone is really making you incredibly vulnerable to how he is going to see you, right? Because, you know, I love the thought of the concept of the priest as the altar priestess, right? That's what our Lord, our Lady wants to assist us to remake us in the image of her Son, so that when she presents her children to God the Father, right, and she presents all of us, that we truly have become like him, right? Truly a son of God, truly in his image.
That's correct. That's right. Well, that is pretty much the deal there. So,
could you just do kind of a quick recap? The first one was?
The opposite. The second one was the virtue of predilection, taking your strongest virtue and aiming, just go full bore on that. And with prudence and grace, you'll bring the others with you. The last one here is familiarity with Christ. And I see, yes, I have this little notation about sacred scripture. Sacred scripture is absolutely fundamental in getting to know our Lord. I just can't imagine that. Yes, it just is. But we also know that the early church was full of Christians, and goodness golly, sometimes wouldn't it be just great to have been there? And they really didn't have scriptures, right? They had the faith.
I'm sure. Not in the sense that we have. I mean, not being read to them, or not that they could read. Absolutely. That's I think that that's why, you know, when we were looking at just this long-term process of these studies that you've been engaging with, right? First, understanding your temperament, and then recognizing, you know, this concept of matter and form, temperaments that you've been given, and then character building, knowing that your free will can engage with this, and you can become a better person, right? I mean, because there is such a thing as just a purely naturally virtuous person who just engages with his temperaments well and just brings pleasantness into the world, right? Even outside of anything supernatural or spiritual. And at a lowest bar, surely the human person, we can all aim for that, right? That at that lowest bar. But then you, when in that second book, you know, we really have an understanding that there is an engagement with sin, that a reckoning with sin, that we as an individual person must have that meeting, that face-to-face meeting with ourselves, so that we can both know who we are and know who God wants us to be, so that we can move further away from ourselves and closer to Him, right? And then this last study that you were just talking about, really, where you are entering into a very, very deep relationship with the God-man who created you to be, to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this life, so that you can be happy with Him forever in the next life. You know, that progression really kind of mimics, right, the spiritual life that we all really long for, to grow in the natural virtues, to understand my sin so that I can come into a relationship with Christ. It just seems to me that, you know, even if you just engaged with those natural virtues, how much better the world would become, right? If we were all like, you know, the Socrates and the Aristotles, who didn't have the advantage of grace, and yet, you know, and I think we all know all those people, right? We all know somebody, and we think, how do you do it? How do you carry that much goodness, you know, naturally, when I have so much supernatural grace and carry such goodness so badly?
So very, yes, that is exactly right.
A couple little things too, if I might just point out, there's this one really beautiful thing that I think.
Can we pick up? Oh, and it'll probably be our final one. So, okay. Yep, sure. We'll be right back. Till then, my friends, Fide Serraccio.